Good morning, everyone. You got it. I hate to break this up. I really do. But if you could just go ahead and find your seat, please. Make your way to your seat, please. So some of you know David Stump. He's normally back here helping in the AV ministry. He leads that and does a great job. But he is on vacation. It's well-deserved. So can you just go ahead and thank everyone back there who is running our sound, our media. I don't know if Lawrence is still in here, but you guys are doing a great job, and we just appreciate you. Thank you. If you are a first-time visitor or if you have a prayer request or a praise report, I want to invite you to fill out the blue respond form. It's in the seat pocket in front of you. You can put that in the usher's bag when it comes by. We love to pray with you and rejoice with you. Most of you know Brad and Allison Shedd. They come to the service, sit right there with their family. Allison's mother passed away on Friday morning, so just keep them in your prayer. They've traveled so they can be with the family and help with arrangements, but just keep them in your continued prayers. I know they would covet those. We have a few things I want to highlight this morning, and first is the Work is Worship Retreat. You can find that at the bottom of your bulletin there. It's taking place February 23rd, and it really talks to connecting our spiritual life with our work life, because that's important, right? We don't want to compartmentalize, you know, our faith. We want to carry it into every aspect of our lives. Amen? Amen. So check that out. There's a website there. You can get more information. Okay, Logan, can you go ahead and run that?
Rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Are you really going to make the hard choices to change your life?
We had 40,000 in student loans, 17,000 in cars.
I owned a rental property.
We had a line of credit, just stuff.
We had 16 credit cards.
The proverb says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes.
We paid off $83,000.
Wow! When desire comes.
$144,000.
When desire comes.
$450,000 in the last 7 years.
Wow!
It is the tree of life.
God says this is how you get out of debt. You gotta run, 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 run!
There is no doubt that this process called Financial Peace University works. The only question is whether you're gonna be involved. And so if you haven't signed up yet, now is the time.
Now is the time. How many of you have attended Financial Peace? Okay, so quite a few of us. Was it good for you? Yes, it is. So we feel so strongly about this that it was supposed to start this week, but we've postponed it a week just to give you more time to register. I just want to encourage you, if you just have questions about it, you know, you can look at their website, or you can come to the first class next week, and that will just give you an opportunity to find out what it's really about. But we'd love for you just to take part of that. It really is a blessing. Also, prepare 2018. You know, we have our time of prayer and fasting just as a body of believers. And we're going to do that tonight at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow and Tuesday, we're going to do that at 6:30. And we would love to have you come take a part. You know that God loves to respond to his people. Amen? So we're just expecting the Lord to come. He's going to speak to you about your own life. He's going to speak to us as a body. It's going to be a powerful time. Please come and join us. We would love to have you here. Ushers, can you please come forward? Can you all stand as we make our offering declaration this morning? Lord, I thank you that today is a day of great opportunity for me to co-labor with you as I joyfully bring my tithes and my offerings. You know my heart, and my desire is to see you do incredible things in people's lives. I thank you that, in your wisdom, you choose to use the gifts that we bring to be a blessing to the poor, the needy, and those desperately looking for hope in their lives. Your word says that as I give to those who are in need, I will never want, and that I will be blessed because of my generosity. Take what I give to you today, Lord, and bless it. multiply it, and cause it to impact individuals and the community around me. Lord, you are so amazing. Thank you again for giving me the opportunity to co-labor with you through my giving. Hallelujah. Now, before you sit down, can you please help me welcome Pastor Harold?
Thank you, Kelly. I am excited about what God is going to do in our midst over the next few days. And in fact, even this year, I would never claim to be a prophet, but there's something stirring inside of me, and I've heard some prophetic words about this coming year, that this year is going to be a year of rebuilding, restoration, a year of his outpouring of his spirit, and I am just longing for that. I'm longing for that in my heart, and that's one of the reasons why, as elders, we felt it was important for us to start this year with praying and fasting, and tonight at 6 o'clock we begin that first service, but this morning is sort of a kickoff to that, and for some of you, I know some of you have already begun to pray and fast, and if you haven't begun, today is the day. We're asking you to begin today, tomorrow, and Tuesday, and I really believe that this is something that God is so on his heart for us to pray and to commit to praying and fasting, that there's opportunity for you to continue fasting periodically between now and Easter. And we're asking if God would call you to fast something. It may not be food, but something that you could that's important that you take and you put aside for a week time and give it up, whether it be food or anything else, and spend that time in prayer and in commitment to the Lord. Just encourage you to do that. When you leave here today, there's a wall that has a banner on it that says, "We're hungry for him." And we have each week between now and the first of April, we have several different places for you just to pull off a tab and says, "Yes, I'm hungry for him. I'm willing to pray and fast this week." And this becomes your reminder. And so we're just asking for between now and the first part of April that we have people in the house that will be praying and fasting for harvest, praying and fasting for the fullness of his spirit and his power. And if God would call you to take a week, you can choose which week you would like to do that. And as you leave today, you can go and you can take a tab just as a reminder. I just encourage you to do that. You know, this, I'm going to be very transparent this morning with you. This sermon was probably one of the most difficult sermons I've ever had to prepare to preach. And in fact, I was scheduled to preach it last Sunday. And most of the time in my preparation for sermons, in fact, all the time, really, it's either like God has worked me through issues, situations, circumstances, or something where he's birthed inside of me a word that I share with you, or he's preparing me for something that I'm going to have to personally walk through myself, and I share it with the body. This was different. If I had preached last Sunday, you would have heard a different sermon than you will today. In fact, I have notes, but it may be a different sermon than what's on my notes because I feel like I'm in process. I'm like in the middle of the testimony of what God is speaking to my own heart and what he's doing inside of me. And I find it really difficult to share the sense of his spirit inside of me. And so I'm going to attempt to do that. But more than my words, I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Because I don't think I'm the only one that is walking through situations and circumstances like this in life. And let me share with you. There was in December when the elders made the decision to call the church to a corporate time of fasting and praying, I wrote something down, and I'm going to share that with you. It was something that was just transparent before the Lord, and I'm going to share it with you. And this is what it said. It says, "Father, as I consider a fast for the upcoming year, I realize that there may be times when my body feels hungry, I'm not afraid of feeling hungry. In fact, I want to feel hungry, not only hungry in my flesh, but hungry in my spirit. I want to be hungry for you. I want to be hungry for your spirit, hungry for your power, hungry for your presence. I realize that as in my flesh, I'm not hungry when something I've eaten has filled me up. My lack of hunger right now that I feel for you does make me wonder what I filled myself up with, what I have eaten that keeps me from being hungry for you. Show me, Lord. Been there? In that moment of transparency, I realized that I had not lost my salvation. I had been filled with the Holy Spirit when I was a young child, and His Holy Spirit had not departed from me. But what I realized was there was a lack of hunger inside of me for more of God. I was satisfied with where I was at and what I had eaten. I looked at the vision statement and the purpose statement of Harvest. And I want to show that up here. I read this, and this is our vision as a people. It's to be a people of open arms, healed hearts, and radically transformed lives. And our purpose was, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Harvest Assembly exists to make and build disciples who impact their world for Jesus Christ. That we have a calling as a body for salvations, to see people come to Christ, but for it not just to stop there, but to make disciples, to build them up, to mature them. This is where it comes into the open arms and healed hearts. Like the healed hearts, we realize that people come, even when they come to Christ, they come with brokenness in their hearts, in their minds, in their spirit, and God, through His power, wants to heal them so that their lives would be radically transformed. And when their lives are radically transformed, then they will impact their world for Jesus Christ. Something will be different. But there was something very strategic when years ago we penned these words, that it wouldn't begin with just our purpose. It would begin with that phrase, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because we realized that we could do good works. A lot of churches do good works. A lot of non-church does good work. But it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. It's the power and the presence of God. It's not just good sermons that we come into this house to hear. It is the presence of God that we come to adore and praise. It is the presence of God that fills this place. That is what we long for, that empowerment of His Holy Spirit. And so I had to ask myself, was I empowered? Am I really empowered? And even a more deeper question that I had to ask myself was, am I even hungry for that empowerment in my life? And as I looked at this, I realized that none of the purposes of harvest could be fulfilled without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But I realized that my life couldn't reach its full destiny without the empowerment of His Holy Spirit inside of me. Harvest needed that empowerment. And what's interesting is that when you talk about the church being empowered by the Holy Spirit, what that really means is that I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. The person beside you is empowered. The person in front of you and behind you is empowered. And when we are collectively empowered by the Holy Spirit, harvest will be empowered. But it's not just signs, gifts, and wonders, which I love. That's part of it. But it really is the empowerment of His presence. It's seeking His presence, seeking Him over everything, hungry for Him. And my heart has become hungry for Him, hungry for His presence, hungry for His power, hungry for His Spirit. See, as a church, we declare that we are a presence-filled, Spirit-filled church, which means we do believe in the Holy Spirit. God is Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. We believe that. We believe that the Holy Spirit is what draws us to the Father. In fact, the Holy Spirit had to be present or we would never have been saved. It is that Holy Spirit that draws us unto Him. We believe that as we accept Christ and we are born again, that the Holy Spirit resides within us. We become the tabernacle of His Holy Spirit. We believe that so that inside of us, He becomes the comforter. He becomes the counselor. He gives us directions. He's always with us. And inside of us, He's working us. He is molding us and He's shaping us. He's developing Christ-like character inside of us. And that the result of Him living inside of us is that we bear fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit lives inside of us. And it manifests through us. And He gives us power to share the gospel, to preach the gospel, to reach the lost. That is the Holy Spirit that resides in us when we become born again. However, we also believe that there is more, that there is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that when we ask, and we ask as believers, ask for that empowerment, that Acts 2 experience, the one that Jesus foretold and said it would come for all those who believe. We believe in that power. We believe in that filling of His Spirit. We believe in the actuation of the Holy Spirit inside of us in dunamis power. That is what we believe. And the empowerment of the Holy Spirit inside of us and inside of this church releases all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It releases the gifts of healing and of prophecy and of miracles, of tongue and interpretation of tongues, and of wisdom and of knowledge. Those manifestations of the Spirit come because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I say I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit, I am hungry. Yes, I want to see all the gifts take place. I want to see the manifold presence of God come here in powerful ways. But what I'm saying is, first things first, I seek Him. I seek His Spirit. I seek His presence. I'm hungry for His presence inside of me. And when I am filled to overflowing with His Spirit and with His power, then the gifts will come as a result of that. But the first question, am I really hungry? Am I hungry for Him? Am I hungry for His presence? Am I hungry for His Spirit? Am I hungry that the power of God would so move inside of me that, yes, I could lay on my hands on the sick and they will be healed? But such power that I could love someone who is pretty unlovable. The Holy Spirit in power where, yes, I could speak in tongues. I could give an interpretation of tongues. But I also could be in my family room where there's situations and circumstances and God gives me a word that brings life to my family. Do I desire the power of God, the presence of God inside of my life? Do I hunger for him so much that, yes, I could prophesy, but I could walk into my workplace and God could give me a word of wisdom for what's going on inside the place where I'm employed? Yes, I want to see miracles happen through my life, but I want to see the miracle and the power of God where I could walk into a room and the whole entire atmosphere of that room changes because of the power that lives inside of me, because of the presence of God that lives inside of me. I have a hunger for that more and more. I want to be able to speak words of knowledge, but I want to also have the power to walk into the garage of my neighbor and see an open door, and God allows me to speak the words of the gospel of Christ and bring my neighbor to the Lord. That's the kind of power that I'm hungry for. Many of you, along with me, have had moments where you know that that's what you are operating in. You know that was the sense. And so often, we get satisfied with other things that we have eaten. And we're no longer hungry for those things that bring life. I am praying that God continues to fill me with a hunger for him, for his presence, and to fill this house with a hunger for his presence. You see, it's great to be part of a church that believes and promotes and proclaims the empowerment of the Spirit, but it's a totally different level when I am living a fulfilled, empowered life. We've seen moments, even in this house, where the wave of the Spirit is flowing. We feel it, we sense it. And we jump on that wave, and God can use us in a powerful and mighty way. I want the type of empowerment where I can create the wave, even when I'm buying detergent at Target. That's the kind of empowerment that I long for. That's the kind of hunger that I have. And it's for the Spirit and the presence of the Lord. And it's not just wisdom. Wisdom is good. Knowledge is good. But as Paul said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, Paul was talking from experience, where Paul had a sermon he preached in the city of Athens, which was just an amazing, wise sermon that he gave to those who were listening, and there was a little bit of results from that. But then Paul understood that it was not only the wise words that he said, but his words had to be accompanied with power and the Spirit and the presence of God. And then Paul changed cities and eventually changed the world because of that empowerment. Matthew 5:3, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit. That word poor is almost, it represents the word that means almost begging, a beggar. And I'm saying, God, may we be like a beggar who is begging for food. May we be so hungry for you, because you said that we are blessed when we hunger after you, when we beg for your Spirit, when we ask, when we search for you. So the question I had to ask myself is, do I have that kind of hunger for his presence? Do I have that kind of hunger for his Spirit? For the presence of God in my life, for his power? And I realized a couple things. First of all, hunger is a sign of health. When a little baby is not hungry, something's not right. Hunger is a sign of health. If you ever go to the hospital, one of the questions that they ask you, amongst the thousands of questions they ask you, but they'll ask you, how's your appetite? Because hunger is a sign that your body is in a healthy state. When there's not hunger, it's a sign. And that's what I had to ask myself. God, there's no hunger. Why? Because if I'm not hungry for you, there's something out of whack. There's something not right. Psalm 63:1, the psalmist says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. The psalmist had it down. He wasn't saying, okay, I'm in this dry land. I thirst for water. I am searching and I'm seeking for water to fill my stomach. No, what did he say? I'm hungry and thirsty for you. May we be a people who, no matter what situation and circumstance we find ourselves in, may we be a people, may I be a person who stays constantly hungry for you. It's an amazing fact. When I'm hungry in the flesh and I eat, I fill myself up and I feel full. In the Spirit, it's a little bit different. When I'm hungry for God and I fill my stomach, my soul with God, what happens? I get hungry for more. And that's the kind of hunger that I want to live with all the days of my life. There was another thing that I discovered, and that is that my appetite can dictate the direction of my life. The cravings of my stomach can dictate how I live my life. I remember I had a roommate in college. My roommate was like skinny, skinny. I was not. But I remember my roommate was a great guy to be around and do things with. But I remember that in the course of a day, we would be doing a whole bunch of things together on break or whatever. And then suddenly it was like he hit a wall and he says, I gotta eat, I gotta eat, I gotta eat. And you know what? I don't care what we paid for the movie. I don't care what we were getting food. It was gonna happen. Because it drove him. It drove him. Sometimes it drove us in the middle of the night to go out and getting a pizza. It drove him because he was hungry. That's the kind of hunger that can drive us. But also other things like our passion, our desires, our possessions, the drive for power and control can feed that appetite, and that's what grows inside of us, and suddenly it dictates our life. Our appetite can dictate our life, because what I eventually feed myself, I will develop an appetite for it. It is so interesting. Many of you who have tried to lose weight, and you go and you set aside the junk food. You stop eating the junk food, the things that you really like to eat. You know, the pizza, cheese sticks, and fried calamari. Whatever it may be, you set all that aside, and you start eating good things. Now, it takes us some time, but you start eating good food. And what you find over the course of time is you start desiring the good food. It happens. You find yourself waking up one day and you're thinking, wow, I want some broccoli. Okay, maybe that's far-fetched. But anyway, but you do. You change. You can change your appetites by what you put in your mouth. And the same thing is spiritually. When there's no hunger for God, you can change that by starting to eat of Him, making that choice to eat of Him. My appetites can be caused by what I put into my mouth. See, hunger for anything besides God can actually be an enemy to us. And I want to read this quote from John Piper. It's so good. It says, if we don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. And it's not necessarily bad things. What it means is we've nibbled, we've eaten, and we eat of this, and we eat of that, and we eat of that, and we eat of that. It's like going to an elaborate meal, which is going to be this major main course, and we stuff ourselves on the appetizers. And there's no room in our stomach for the main dish. That's what we have to examine in ourselves. This is what I have to examine in my own heart, in my own life. If I'm not hungry, what have I filled myself up with? What concerns, what cares, what things that are perhaps good have I allowed to feast upon? And I feast more and more and more upon it. It's not that Netflix is bad, but if it keeps me from spending time with my Savior and Lord, it becomes an enemy. It becomes an enemy. And God is calling us to set aside. This week is a great example of just physically setting aside food. Because in the least, you have a few hours each day that you could spend with God instead of eating. We substitute the appetizer for the main course. And even in our lives, even good things can become a distraction. And even the blessings of the Lord can become a distraction because we fail to see the bigger meal that is prepared for us. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3. In fact, Jesus used this scripture to come against Satan when Satan was tempting him. Jesus had stepped into the wilderness. He'd been there for 40 days and 40 nights, and the scripture says he was very, very hungry. And Satan came to him and said, he was tempting him, and says, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, take those stones and make them into bread. And Jesus said, no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, where Moses was talking to the children of Israel before they were going into the promised land. And he was talking to a generation that had been born in the wilderness. They had not seen everything that went on. They didn't know all the promises in the covenant. And Moses is preparing them. He's trying to teach them about the Lord God and what he has done for them and for their forefathers. And so Moses is speaking to them, and he's saying to them about God. In verse 3, he says, so he, God, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. And this is what's interesting. That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You see, this is what happens sometimes, is that we're hungry. And God provides something for us to fill that hunger. And it's a good thing. And we rejoice in it, and we're thankful for it. But really what it can be is somewhat of a test to us. Do we rely upon the manna that he just gave me? Or do I seek him, the bread of life, everything that comes from the Father? You see, that's the test that we all have. God calls us to be hungry, hungry for him. And often in his grace and mercy, he provides things in our lives that keeps us sort of satisfied. But the question is, are we hungry for those things, or are we hungry for him? It's just like the gifts. Are we satisfied with just the gifts of someone being healed, or prophetic gifts, or whatever? Or are we longing for him? Are we hungry, hungry for the bread of life? Hungry for everything, the full meal that comes from the Father that he has for us? Are we hungry for his spirit, his presence, his empowerment? You see, I can create that kind of hunger because I have control over what I will be hungry for. What I come to desire will be what I feed myself, and what I feed myself will be what I will desire. Whether it be good, bad, healthy, unhealthy. I want to encourage us this morning. Psalm 34, we sang it. Taste, see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is a moment, a time, where the Holy Spirit is challenging me and is challenging you and asking you the question, are you hungry? Are you hungry for his empowerment? Are you hungry for the full meal that God has prepared for you? Are you hungry? What have you been eating? Are you hungry for him? Let's pray. Father, the Holy Spirit is here. Your presence, your spirit is here. Your spirit is what draws us to the Father. And Father, I ask you to do your drawing right now. Perhaps there may be some here that you're feeling that drawing to the Father. You've never accepted him as your Savior and as your Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that's tugging on your heart right now. Cannot happen by man or words. It's the Holy Spirit that is calling you. And perhaps you've heard what I've preached this morning about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, about walking a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit flowing from us. And you're saying, I would want that. The first thing is that you make him Lord of your life. And if that is you this morning and you say, I feel that tug in my heart, in my spirit, and now's the time, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make him Lord. If that's you, if I could have you just raise your hand. Is there anyone? I'm going to ask Benson to lead us in a song. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart now. And like he's done with me over the course of the last few weeks, he's begun to point out things that I've filled myself with, that I've been satisfied with. And perhaps those things he will reveal to you, and it's a moment of just very honest confession before him. And if that is you, make that confession. Say, God, I want to set aside these other things, and I want to be hunger. I want to have hunger for you more than anything else. Would you stand, please, as we sing? If God's prompting you, you can come up forward. Just seek Him. Let's begin to seek Him, folks. Let's seek His power. Seek His presence. Seek His Spirit. He is here. Thank you, God. The Holy Spirit is here. Some of you, it's been a long time since you felt the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. He is here this morning to fill you full. Perhaps you've never experienced that infilling of His power. He says, for all believers, just simply ask for that infillment of that power. Ask Him, and He is faithful. He will fill you. Holy Spirit, right now, come. Fill your people. Fill your children. Reignite us, Father, with that hunger and that passion for you. Fill us full, Lord God. We're tired of being filled with the stuff of earth. We want to be filled with you, Holy Spirit. We want to be filled with your power, with your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just cry out to Him. Just cry out. Just cry out to the Father. Say, God, I want you. Holy Spirit, I want you. Spirit of God, presence of God, I want you in my heart. I want to have a hunger for you. I want to hunger after you. I want to go after you, Father. When I go after you, you come after me. Father, that you do come. You see what we seek for, we will find when we seek for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Holy Spirit, praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of you, God's pouring His anointing back on you. There's been at times when your anointing, you knew what you were called for, and it's fallen dead. And God is reigniting that. He's reigniting that which He's placed inside of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, for you. I think of you, Father. I look toward you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I'm so. Seek His face. Seek His presence. Seek Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy God. Some of you, God has put special gifts in your heart. You know it. I'm seeing even a teaching gift that you knew way long ago that you were called to teach. And yet that gift has remained dormant inside your life. The Holy Spirit is coming and He's reigniting that gift. He's going to burn it with fire. It's not just going to be knowledge. It's not going to be just attributes. It's going to be with power and with might. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Holy God. There's someone here, I'm not sure who it is, maybe more than one person, but you felt like the Holy Spirit has left you, that there is no more hope. Somehow you've grieved the Holy Spirit or something, and you're saying, there's no way the Holy Spirit's ever going to operate in my life again. Here to declare to you that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Lord says, seek me, ask of me, I will fill you full and overflowing. I have not forsaken you. I have not left you. My spirit has not abandoned you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of you, dreams, visions, things way in the past. I just see somebody that was really young. I mean, like teenager, pre-teenager, young. And God poured a dream into you. And you have forgotten you've forgotten about that dream. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten. And you have felt no power. You have felt no anointing. You have felt nothing in order to accomplish that dream. And I just believe the Lord is saying, this is the year that's going to be reignited. That my power is going to come as you seek me, as you seek my presence, as you seek my face, as you seek my spirit. I'm going to reignite that dream that I gave to you. I think it was 12 years old. That's just what's in my head. But thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For those of you, if you feel you need to leave, please do so quietly. There are those that are still seeking God. And I encourage you to hunger after him. I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you a hunger for him that is unquenchable. That he gives you a hunger for him, that you will stop at nothing to seek him, to seek his presence, to seek his face. For out of that will flow the answers that you've been seeking. Out of that will flow the miracles that you've been seeking. Out of that will flow the gifts that you desire to possess in your life. And I encourage you, please join us tonight, 6 o'clock, as we pray and seek God again. God bless you. Please be released, but go quietly as those who are seeking God continue to do so. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh,